Nice to have you here. A very good Tuesday morning to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, mortgage confidently, apply simply, understand fully. Great to have you here. We are backloading today, which means I've got three interviews, but they do not start until the middle of hour number two, which means the first hour is open for you. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Raider fan, I'm looking for you. Ram fan, if you were wondering whether or not it was okay to buy in to believe, maybe it is. It's only one game across the board, but I've got lots of thoughts on what I saw last night. Jets, Lions included. Start dialing. Open phones in hour number one. 1-800-636-8686. You know how to follow me on Twitter. I would love to see you there. At Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. In hour number two, Green Bay Packers running back Ty Montgomery. 20 past the second hour. In the third hour, we go back-to-back to end the program. So you want to make sure you get in before the end of the show. The last two segments of the program are interviews. NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks, hour number three. Chris Harris Jr., who has not been on the show in a long time, Broncos cornerback, joins me in the final segment of the show. So we're loaded. Three really good NFL interviews. 1-800-636-8686. Let's not waste any time. Let me get right to the Rams and Raiders. Rams v. Raiders. The return of John Gruden. The trade of Khalil Mack. The debut of the Rams dream team. There were so many Chucky dolls in the stands. So many storylines on the sidelines. You knew something had to give. Something was going to go down last night. And it did. In the first quarter. On the very first drive of the Raiders season. I give to you Marshawn Lynch. V the Rams defense.
Derek Carr moves up now to change the call. Now he backs away from the offensive line. Marshawn is off to his left. Draw. Marshawn. Six. Cuts back to the three. Battling. Close to the 2 yard line. It took a half dozen. He goes into the end zone. He's pushed in. Touchdown. Oh my. The beast is unstoppable.
Video. Holy crap. Marshawn Lynch. He's had more legendary runs than that one, but I'm not sure he's ever had one that was more powerful. This guy put the team on his back. The Rams team. Every guy in Rams gear was either trying to pull him down or jumping on top of him, and every single one of them was just along for the ride. It does not get any more impressive than that. The beast mode. Beast freaking mode. He looked like beast mode of old. He looked like he was back. And you know Chuck Gruden was fired up for the first drive of the season. Chucky appeared to be out-scheming Wade Phillips in that Rams all-world defense. And when you do that, you know you're feeling yourself. You know Chuck was. Gruden had put his reputation on the line by trading Khalil Mack. You know he wanted to make a statement. You know he wanted to make it clear. Well, he did make it clear that he couldn't keep both Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. Even though he could have, he wanted you to know that he could not have. But he wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he made the right choice, that Gruden kept the right guy. And after that first drive, it looked like that was an argument that he might even win. Again, Chuck Gruden was looking to send messages and make statements. And Marshawn Lynch made one on that first drive. Problem is, the Rams made a statement of their own, and they made it in the second half. In fact, they made it the entire second half, and a close game turned into a hospital job. Oakland went into halftime leading 13-10, and it started to seem like maybe stockpiling big names and bigger contracts might not be the best idea. Maybe all these stars on the Rams were not going to gel. Maybe dream teams don't work in the NFL. Hell, maybe the Raiders really are not going to miss Khalil Mack. Wrong answer. Because the Rams came out in the second half. Not only knocked the rust off, they knocked the Raiders the hell out. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley got rolling. The Rams dropped 23 unanswered points on Chuck and his crew, and it was capped off by this.
Second down and four. Could be the final play before the two-minute warning, and it's intercepted. Marcus Peters in his hometown, a pick six to say goodnight. He goes leaping into the end zone, lands on his back. A pick six to cap it for LA.
Rams radio. And that was not just a Marcus Peters pick six. That was a Marcus Peters pick six, complete with a crotch grab leap after he went into the end zone. Doing the beast mode in beast mode's house is an embarrassing look for Chuck and the silver and black and for the beast mode. So much for statements, eh, Chuck? Exactly what the hell happened? You come in with the crazy hype, the crazy fanfare, the crazy contract. You run off your best player, and then you get run right off your home field. Under the lights, in prime time, with the entire nation watching. Chuck, what do you have to say for yourself?
You know, when you can run the ball like they ran in the second half, it's very hard to rush the passer. Obviously, we didn't get to Goff enough, and we didn't get to Gurley enough. And we'll take a good look at the reasons why we didn't.
You do that, Chuck. You do that. But I've got one reason why you were not able to rush the passer last night. You traded your best pass rusher. Oh, and he happens to be a pretty damn good run stopper as well. Your best pass rusher and run stopper was playing Sunday night in Bears gear and reminded the entire world of what you just traded. And then you went and reminded everybody of it all over again. Chris Johnson, you remember him. Old CJ2K, he tweeted, quote, traded Mac and can't get to the quarterback, followed by four face palm emojis. And the guy's right. And speaking of reminding everybody about that Mac trade, how about this quote from Gruden from an interview that aired before the game?
Obviously, Khalil Mack didn't want to play here. You know, that's what's being missed here. He was under contract, Lisa. You know, he was under contract. He never showed up for an OTA. He never showed up for training camp. And it was obvious he wasn't going to show up for the season. So, you know, don't forget that. We have to get ready to play. And I want players that want to be here, that want to help us put this thing back in high gear.
ESPN, with that, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're blaming the Khalil Mack trade on Khalil Mack. He didn't ask to be traded. He has to be paid his fair market value, and the Bears were willing to give it to him, and you were not. What do you mean he didn't want to be there? He loved it there. He made it clear he wanted to be a Raider for life. Of course he wanted to be there. You didn't want him there, so you traded him. Fine. Own it. But don't come in here after getting punched in the face and say that the player did not want to be there when he clearly did. Mac did not make that decision, Chuck. You did. You need to own that and stop blaming the player. Hey, Raider fan. See, this is how this is going to go. This is what you get when you give a guy like that much money and that much power. What you get are bad decisions and no accountability. Good luck getting Chuck to own anything at all in the next decade, Raider fan. I've got another concern for you. Now, you know this here is a huge Derek Carr house. Huge Derek Carr house. I love the guy. And the guy was lights out in 2015 and 2016. However, he has not really been the same player since then. Now, I understand this. I get it. He had a busted leg. He had a busted back. We've seen what Derek Carr can do when he's right. But he really hasn't been since 2016. And this is one of the reasons why you bring Chucky in. Because Chuck is an alleged quarterback guru. He can fix Carr. Except Derek Carr didn't look any better last night than he did last season. And if Carr does not get back to playing the way he did, then the Raiders have no shot. And you can tell yourself it's only one game, but the fact is, it's not. It's not. He hasn't been right since 2016. My man looks like he's lost some of that mojo and some of that swag. And once it goes, it does not always come back. Now, I'm not giving up on Carr. But know this. Chuck better coach him up. Chuck says one of the reasons he took that job was for Derek Carr. This is another reason why they're paying this guy $10 million a year. I'm not saying your season is over, Raider fan. You got beat by a better team. You got outclassed, and you got outcoached, and the entire world saw it. Yes, it's only one game. However, I had my concerns about Chuck going into that one game, and now I've got even more of them coming out of that one game. Concerns about the decisions he makes. Concerns about whether or not this guy's ever going to own anything at all. And based on what I saw last night, the answer is no, he's not. For him to come out and say that Khalil Mack didn't want to be there, that he wasn't there in camp, and that tells you he didn't want to be there. I don't know, Aaron Donald wasn't there in camp. Does that mean he didn't want to be a Ram? No, of course not. Raider fan, you got to come up in here now. I've defended you over and over and over and over again. Now it's time to get real. Now it's time to own some, even if your coach isn't. 1-800-636-8686. Don't wait on me. Phone lines are open. Again, we're backloading. I've got three interviews, but they don't start until the second hour. You need to come in now. Do not waste time. All right, on top of that, it was a doubleheader last night. Ordinarily, I would have gone in on the Lions to start the program, giving the Jets some hype. And that start last night, that start could not have been any more Jets-like than it was. Sam Darnold, not only throwing a pick six on the first pass of his NFL career, but to throw the pass that he did, to make the decision he did, that was the most Jets thing ever. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all, which is about the most Sam Darnold thing ever. If you saw him here in SoCal the way we did, you know that's the way that guy's wired. And he is tremendous. I could not have been more impressed. More impressed the way he responded to that. And less impressed by the Lions and how they played last night. Literally jacked up and embarrassed in every single phase of that game. Every single phase of that game. How about your alleged rocket scientist, Matt Patricia? Look at that guy. No, I mean, look at that guy. Look at that guy. Look at that team. So we'll get into all that. It's been about 48 hours since the Baltimore Ravens beat the Buffalo Bills 47-3. It's been about 48 hours since Nate Peterman went 5-for-18 with a couple of picks, three sacks, and a QBR of 0.0 before he got benched. And yet Sean McDermott still is not prepared to say who's going to be a starting quarterback. I feel you, Coach. That is a tough decision. I'm here to help, and I will. Believe it or not, with all the football going on, I do want to talk some golf. But with all the football going on, I want to talk some more football. RPO, that episode number one, is live. The debut episode of Rome Price Opinion, our newest podcast here on the Jim Rome Podcast Network, is live. And I want to reset that for you. This email says, Rome, I know it's only one game, but maybe sitting up in the booth, yucking it up for a decade, did not make Chucky a better coach. Take a look across the sideline at Sean McKay. Sean McKay? Take a look at Sean McKay? That's what it says. Take a look across the sideline at Sean McKay. Dude is 32, and he just laid a beat down on the Raider ass. Hey, to be fair, the Raiders were a 6-10 team last year. To be fair, many think the Rams might be a Super Bowl team this year. All right? I mean, so you know what you're getting into. But the Raiders come out there. They go right down the field. Raider Nation's feeling it. You know, Chuck was feeling it. And then they got hammered in the second half. Total hospital job. Outcoached, outclassed, and the Rams are a much better team. Mike R. in Toronto. And you're right. Sean McKay is only 32. And he turned Chuck inside out. But I'll tell you what else. Don't overlook this. My man, Todd Gurney, is a beast. He's a beast. I'm telling you, once Todd Gurney's head starts a bucking, you can cancel Christmas. Once Gurney starts running downhill the way he did in the second half, you can forget it. And you want to add insult to injury. How about Marcus Paul? Pick six, high-stepping into the end zone, high-stepping, crotch-grabbing, beast-moding into the end zone to finish it. Marcus Paul. That's why you bring that guy in. Even with a questionable background and questions about his character, this is why you take a shot and bring in Marcus Paul. And this whole thing about Gruden going on and on about Khalil Mack didn't want to be there. Khalil Mack didn't report. Really? How about L.A. Ram Aaron Ronald? Ronald missed camp. Does that mean that Ronald didn't want to be there? Because I was watching Ronald last night, and Ronald looked to me like he wanted to be there. Aaron freaking Ronald. Aaron Ronald, maybe the best non-quarterback in the NFL. And one more thing. Anybody else have any questions about whether or not it was a good idea to bring in Aqua Tlaib? Not me. Not me. Oh, one more thing. How about Indomican's son? That guy was a lunar eclipse. Indomican's son. A solar eclipse. Hey, remember early in that game last night when Cooper Mugg dropped that ball that hit him right in the chest? Came right back, didn't he? Don't sleep on Cooper Mugg. Don't sleep on Cooper Mugg. And be sure to proofread your emails. Trust me. Brandon Scheffs, speed burner that he is, would never make that mistake. You want to go vertical. Al Davis was probably rolling in his grave. Al Davis used to love, let's go vertical. Yeah, well, Brandon Scheffs can go vertical. Mike Oren, Toronto. Hey, Mike, thank you very much for not proofreading your email and getting me to the end of segment number one. Next time, proofread it. Take a look across the sideline at Sean McKay. Again, the last thing I want to do is sit here and pound on some beaten down fans. It's not my deal, especially when I respect those fans and I know how much it means to them. But Lions fans, that could not have been any worse. I mean, I've been tracking you, following you, talking about you and your team for my entire adult life. And I don't remember that team being any more embarrassing than they were last night, honestly. Or less prepared than they were last night. Less equipped to go to battle than they were last night. I mean, to go out there and get turned inside out by the Jets of all teams. And to have a rookie quarterback look like he was going, this guy looks like a 10-year Hall of Famer. And that was after a pick six across his body and across the field. I mean, I'm shocked by how bad the Lions looked. I'm shocked that I would ever say that about the Lions. But they looked that bad. And although I'm on record as saying personal appearances are not show fodder, it's everything I have right now to try to delete these emails as they come in about Matt Patricia and how he looks. And it's almost impossible for me to do it at this point. Let me just say this. Him being 5 or 10 pounds overweight, allegedly, really is not part of the take to me. But I will grant you this. I will grant you this. When a guy like that is on the sidelines for the Patriots, he's got kind of this mad scientist vibe to him, doesn't he? Like he is a legitimate rocket scientist, like a mad scientist. You know, kind of slovenly all over the place, but damn, that guy's smart. Really smart. So he's got kind of that mad scientist vibe on the sideline for the Patriots when they're rolling teams up. But when that same guy is on the sideline for the Lions and they're getting rolled up, he doesn't look like a mad scientist. He just looks unprepared and sloppy. Chuck Weiss is like, bro, push away from the table. All right, clones, there, I did it. I gave you one. I gave you one. Hope you enjoyed that. I'll never do anything like that ever again. See, you did. You dragged me down to your level. It's not going to happen again. I retract that. I take that back. Listen, I love my job. I love my job because they still pay me to talk sports every single day. On occasion, sometimes you shock me and you rise up and you give me a quality contribution. However, end of the day, it's still about prep. Lots of prep. Part of my prep is getting a good night of sleep every single night. Thankfully, nobody in my home snores. I don't. My wife does not. My kids don't. Quality sleep is critical to my success and my prep. Snoring is not sleeping. If you or anybody you know snores, you want to get a Zyppa, ZYPPAH.com. That's Happy Z spelled backwards. I wake up every day early. I can't imagine what it would be like if I rolled out of the rack every single morning and I had not slept well the night before. You may not realize this, but if you snore, you're not sleeping. And if you're not sleeping, not only are you ruining your own sleep, you're ruining the sleep of other people. Snoring is still not sleeping. If you want a great night of sleep, get a Zyppa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Happy Z spelled backwards. I mention this product every day on the show because it's that good. Go to ZYPPAH.com to make sure you and everybody you know have Happy Z's. Put an end to snoring. Get a great night of sleep. Go to Zyppa.com. So when Patricia was with the Patriots, we saw the Patriots' way. Now that he's with the Lions, it is the Lions' way. I mean, everybody made the point last night. This is not an original thought. But the fact is, they did break off Jim Caldwell. And this guy was winning. 9-7. 9-7. You fired that guy to get to this guy. And it couldn't look any worse. That was bad. Really, really bad. Raider fan, you got to come up in here and own this. You need to own some of this. Rome, we figured out why Matt Stafford sucked last night. His helmet was too tight due to his 4XL-sized face. We were able to obtain the Flight Deck's youth helmet, signed the Lions. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, wore outside sales, wore Matt Patricia and Matt Stafford hitting up Golden Corral after the game. It's another source of great and endless fascination for you all. The fat content in fat. Matt Stafford's face.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't really know how you measure that. I just know this about this guy. He throws for 4,000 yards every single year, except for the years where he throws for 5,000 yards. It's not his fault. It's not his face's fault. Mike Orr in Toronto wants to defend himself. He's the guy who sent the email about Sean McKay. Pimp. In my defense, I got sniped by the iPhone auto edit. We've all been there. Signed, Mike Orr in Toronto. Hey, Mike, let me ask you something. Did the iPhone auto edit also spell defense with a C? Or is that the Canadian iPhone auto edit? Yeah, Mike, we've all been there before, but we still look at it before we send it. And again, Mike, don't apologize, bro. Like I said, you gave me 5 minutes of quality programming. I'm thanking you. I'm not cracking you. Misspell other coaches' names. And this email. Thank you, Mike R. in Toronto. I thank you, and so does Coach McKay. This email reads, Romy, my good God. That damn podcast of yours is straight bleeping fire. I was dying listening to Price once he warmed up. Let me stop right there. That's true. My man, TP, had to get warmed up, had to get settled in, then he got really comfortable. Trevor. This email goes on. I felt like I got busted in the damn ribs. I have never heard anybody describe Gronk as a gorilla. I'm no longer looking forward to football. Hell, I'm looking forward to Monday's pod. Brad, in Northwoods, Maine. I'm going to play that, or I'm going to reset that for you, but let me say one more thing if you've heard that. If you heard episode number one of the RPO, Rome Price Opinion, and Brad in Northwoods, Maine said, I'm not even looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to Monday in that podcast. The amazing thing was, no sooner than that dropped, Trevor texts me. Trevor had already listened back to the entire podcast. He hits me up, he texts me, and he said, bro, I listened to it already. I will be so much better next week. Fire next week. I will be so much better. I'm like, Trevor, you really did a good job for a first out. This guy's already breaking tape. He listened back to the entire thing within a half hour of it dropping, promising to be much better next week. And he crushed episode number one. I'm really fired up. I am really excited about RPO. So that's coming up, too. I want to give you my complete breakdown of the Lions and the Jets, my breakdown of Matt Patricia. Today, of course, is September 11, and I want to reset that, too. I'll certainly hit that. You know I will. All right, phone lines are open. Ty Montgomery next hour. Bucky Brooks and Chris Harris Jr. in the third hour. And I'm looking for a phone call. No, I'm looking for a good phone call. There is a difference. I get lots of phone calls. I'm looking for a good phone call. Hit us up. Let's talk some golf, too. 1-800-636-8686. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update. This update starts.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The long, tough road to Super Bowl 53 on CBS continues with a great doubleheader. Kansas City colliding with Pittsburgh. Then it's a rematch of the AFC Championship game when New England battles Jacksonville. The day kicks off at 12 Eastern with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. Rome, the look on Fat Patricia's face all night was priceless. He's continuing the streak of Patriot coordinators to belly flop his head coaches. Things sure are much more difficult when you're outside the circle of cheating. Mike D for three. The circle of cheating. When you're outside the circle of cheating. It's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? If Bill Belichick's the greatest coach ever. Greatest NFL coach ever, arguably, but none of his assistants do jack. Dear Jumpman, the Lions' performance last night was totally trash. Yours, Lawrence Taylor. Brendan in the Natty. Wore the RPO podcast. Wore you introducing my man Trevor Price to the greatness that is Ramit. How about that, Alvin? Totally trashed. I think Trevor knows about Ramit. My man knows a lot about football. Now, his take on the Rams is when you've got that many alphas, it doesn't work. You've got too many strong personalities in that locker room, and that when things inevitably do go south, the finger pointing will begin. That's his take on the Rams. So he missed on that one, but he did get the Jets. He had the Jets last night, and he had the Rams over the Raiders. Once again, I'll reset the RPO, the RPO podcast, a little bit later on. All right, so if Rams-Raiders was the main course, then Jets-Lions was the so-called appetizer. What that was a sampler platter of misery, if you're a Lions fan. The 2018 Detroit Lions opened up the season with a tribute to Aretha Franklin, and then they played some of their own greatest hits. Interceptions, injuries, horrible tackling, missed field goals, and allowing a special teams touchdown, and that was just the start. But here's the thing. The actual start of the game, of course, could not have gone any better for the Lions or any worse for Sam Darnold and the Jets. First play of Sam Darnold's career, roll it.
And there is the play action fake and the bootleg right for Sam Darnold. Looks back to the left, fires one left sideline, and it's intercepted. Picked off down the sideline, heading towards the end zone, and into the end zone with a touchdown is Quandre Diggs. The first pass attempt of the career of Sam Darnold is a long across-the-field lob that you can't make in the National Football League. You may be able to do that in the Pac-12, but that's the learning experience for Sam Darnold.
Jets radio. Actually, you can't even do that in the Pac-12. You can't do that in high school. You can't do that anywhere. That's the first thing they tell you when you play football. Do not do that. I mean, aside from a career-ending or season-ending injury, that was about the worst possible outcome. The worst way to start a career. A pick six on your very first throw. You could not even write that off as a good play by the defense. That was the most rookie quarterback throw you are ever going to see. Rolling right, trying to throw back across your left. It's a throw that you're told not to make, even in Pop Warner. And Sam Darnold just did it in the NFL. And then, of course, instantly, everybody rushes in to kill him. Everybody rushed to Twitter to clown him and clown the Jets. You know, J-E-T-S, M-E-S-S, mess, mess, mess. J-E-T-S, C-R-A-P, crap, crap, crap. Here we go again. Sam Darnold is the new Christian Hackenberg. Kellen Clemens, Brooks Bollinger, Broadway Browning Nagel. Except that's not how that was, because Sam Darnold is not any of those guys. And I could not have been any more impressed than I was with Sam Darnold last night, because he bounced back in a huge way. Think about it. He starts the game like that, on the road, in prime time. All the heat, all the expectations, people rushing in to kill him, and then he completely turns it around. Just flip the switch. Completes 7 of his next 9. Leads the Jets to points in 3 of his next 5 drives, including a 41-yard touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson. Do you have any idea how hard that is to do? Even if it is against the Lions, because he's still playing with the Jets. It's not like he's throwing to Jerry Rice or Randy Moss. And even when Detroit tied that game early in the second half, Darnold came right back with another TD pass. And then in the process, he becomes the first rookie QB to win his first NFL start by 31 points since Tom Brady. Now, let's not freak out. It is only one game. I'm not here to crown his ass or declare the guy's a Hall of Famer yet. Just like, however, I was not looking to crucify him after only one play. But man, my dude is impressive. Really impressive. I mean, so poised, so composed in a situation where it would have been so easy to melt down and implode. And while the numbers are not the same, Sam Darnold last night reminded me of the Sam Darnold that we saw in the Rose Bowl. The composure, the calm. This guy's a freaking flatline. He doesn't have a pulse. He's one of the coolest dudes ever. This is why everybody here in SoCal loved this guy and why the Jets moved Teddy Bridgewater and gave Darnold the rock to start the season. I mean, listen to the guy himself explain the pick six.
On that interception, I was pretty nervous. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, but after that, you know, put it behind me. I think, you know, that after the crowd got really loud after that pick, it was just, you know, shoot. And then I was like, okay, here we go. You know, can't get much worse than that. So it was really that kind of thinking that was going on in my head. And then just, you know, played and knew that we had a good team.
Love this dude. I've loved this dude since the first time I saw him play. Love his attitude, love his poise, love his composure, loves the way he carries himself. He's got no bag about him. I mean, totally grounded guy, normal guy. Teammates love him. Everybody loves Darnold. Everybody. Now, it's too early for me to say that the Jets have a good team. Too early for that just yet. But, man, I like this guy's confidence. And I do like the way they were flying around to the football. Oh, and here's another thing. Just as John Gruden is going to have to wear that Khalil Mack trade, the Giants apparently are going to have to wear the fact that they passed on Sam Darnold. I love Saquon Barkley. But maybe they're going to have to wear that too. And that could be really painful. I got to admit, when they took Barkley, I didn't look back. And I've always loved Darnold. But to see Darnold out there slinging it the way he was, to see him respond to adversity the way he did on that big stage, I'm telling you, that's something the Giants may wear for a long, long time. And as long as we are on the topic, the really painful topic of the Detroit Lions, Detroit, I wish I had better news for you. Let me be careful how I put this. That was disgusting. That was embarrassing. That was revolting. Even for you. S-O-L, same old Lions. That was so bad. The Jets defense knew what the Lions offense was running before they ran it. Linebacker Darren Lee said, quote, "We were calling out their plays as he was getting up to the line." I mean, that's some high school stuff right there. That is the ultimate humiliation. Or then again, is it? Because getting booed by your home fans in the season opener is pretty humiliating. And so is the fact that by the fourth quarter, you could only hear Jets fans. Or the fact that ESPN cut away from that game midway through the fourth because it was that embarrassing. Again, the game could not have started any better for the Lions or ended any worse. And I wish I could give you Lions fans a nice pep talk or some sort of silver lining. Except I don't see one. I don't think there is one. That was horrible, and you know it even more than I know it. And your rocket scientist coach looks like he just came from a keg party. Good luck with that. You're going to need it. And you know it.
That's unbelievable.
That really is unbelievable. Matty P. My man did not look prepared. The rocket scientist did not look prepared. The smartest guy ever was ill-prepared. Hell, 12 would. Talking to me, thought that guy was ill-prepared for the big stage. Just kidding, Wood. You did great, kid. That was a blast. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get a phone call in here. We go to Oakland. I said, Raider fan, you got to own this. And here's one. Let's go to Oakland. Isaac. Isaac, what's up? Hey, good morning.
Long-time listener. First-time caller, man. I'm just disappointed with this Gruden stuff, man. First and foremost, Mac, it's not even, it's a domino effect. King, one of the best punters. Did you see that punt last night, 25 yards? That's when everything crashed in the third quarter. And then red zone, he got rid of our main man, Crabtree. That's when card was what, Glory Days, what, 2016, 17? It's just been kind of bad since then, man. Right now, Gruden just needs to suck it up. He needs to suck it up and stand and be a man and just coach like my man Kerr when he came over here after he took over Jackson. He just tweaked it and did some good coaching and did his thing.
I hear you, Isaac. That's what I'm talking about, a Raider fan coming in and owning it. He didn't like what he saw last night at all. Hey, listen, Khalil Mack, if you want to make the argument that we can't pay both those guys, the quarterback and Khalil Mack, first of all, you can pay both of them. They just can. He chose not to, and that's fine. If you want to make that argument, I'm not going to make that argument. To me, you don't trade a Hall of Famer who is in the prime of his career, a game changer, a guy that you have to account for every single second that he's on the field. We saw what he did against Green Bay. We saw how he dominated that game, especially in the first half. We know what Khalil Mack can do. Either Gruden didn't know, or if Gruden really does get up at 3:17 every single morning and spend 12 hours in the dark room every single day, I'm guessing John Gruden was very clear on what Khalil Mack could do. Either he didn't respect it or didn't want to pay it. That's fine. You're the coach. You've got the power. You've got the authority. Just own the decision. And don't come in here after you get punched in the face and knocked the hell out on national TV and say, yeah, well, that guy didn't want to be here. That guy didn't want to be here, or he would have been here. Let's not confuse him holding out and trying to get the best deal he could for himself. You know, John, the way you did. The way you did, Chuck. Let's not confuse that with a guy not wanting to be a Raider. Khalil Mack wanted to be a Raider. Khalil Mack made it clear he wanted to spend his entire career with the Raiders. It's the problem I have with Gruden. I got a problem with the decision. But again, we can talk about the decision. You can even justify the decision he made. But I got a real problem with that guy coming in and not owning that it was his decision. He made that decision. And then to try and throw dirt on this guy or to try and smear this guy and say, hey, look, that's on him. Khalil Mack did not trade himself. Gruden traded Khalil Mack because Gruden did not want to pay Khalil Mack. And again, I'm not saying that if Khalil Mack were there last night, they would have won that game because they wouldn't have. But Todd Gurley would not have run all over their asses in the second half the way he did. Gruden himself said it. We need to do a better job of getting to the quarterback. Hell yeah, that was apparent from the jump. And you know what would have helped you get to the quarterback? A Hall of Fame pass rusher in Khalil Mack. And also a guy that does a great job stopping the run. What did Gruden say after that game? He said three things. We have to do a better job of getting to the quarterback. We had to do a better job in stopping Todd Gurley. And Khalil Mack didn't want to be here. Mack wanted to be there, and you would have done a better job of getting to the quarterback, pressuring Jared Goff, and slowing Todd Gurley down if Khalil Mack were there. Dan in Denver tweets, if Patricia gets fired, call me. I'd be great as a lion. Regards, Urban Meyer. Lion, L-Y-I-N. Stay with it. I got Ty Montgomery coming up next hour. Phone calls next segment. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. That's hour number one. We're having a good day again. Off to a great start. Second hour straight ahead.